Okay, I'm going to just continue our conversation about sin. Have you been blessed by this word? To be able to get this revelation is major. It's major. And so this revelation of sin has done a few things for us. Number one, it's given us God's perspective on sin. Was anybody surprised to learn how God sees it? Exactly. One person, and two including me, surprised to see how God views it. Because, you know, religion has a way of making God angry all the time, and has a way of bringing condemnation. And there's a distinction between conviction and condemnation, because conviction is the blessing we have in the Holy Spirit, who basically pulls our coattails to let us know that you're going the wrong way, that's harmful to you, that's not good for you. And God's perspective, or his admonition to withdraw from sinning, is so that we can enjoy what? Life, and life more abundantly. And so it's not just a prohibition because God doesn't want you to do things, because, you know, he wants to keep you from stuff that you enjoy. It's just that the things that we can engage in can be harmful to us, both naturally and spiritual. Our relationships, our health, our life in its totality. So we get this perspective, and it helps us then to want to agree with God and say, you know what, I agree with you. And I may not always understand it. And in fact, the funny thing about sin is much of the sin we actually enjoy. And we've learned that we enjoy it because we have a nature that is born of this world, this Adamic nature that we were born with, this carnal nature, this fleshly nature. And so it has a proclivity to do its thing as it relates to this earth. But when we become born again, we have the capacity to overcome that. We have the capacity to rise above. And in fact, the Lord told Cain, say, listen, the sin actually crouches at the door. It's a predator, is what we've also learned. And that it wants to bring you to a place of living life beneath your privilege. He said, but you subdue it. Now, how many know that God never tells you anything to do that you don't have the capacity to do? He's not going to tease you. He's not going to give you something that's impossible to do. Now, the key is you may be able to do it, but the thing is, you can't do it by yourself. And that's where we have to come to realize that we can't achieve this without some help from the Holy Spirit, which is why we pray, which is why we fast, which is why we learn of the Word of God. Just what we went through yesterday, the exercise, and of course, you know, you get caught up in the hand gestures and the process. But as you meditate on what you glean from it, you begin to see the ways of God. As you get into the Word of God, you begin to see the heart of God. You begin to see him do what he does in the way that only he can do. And in that, you know, you begin to then develop that rapport with him and that relationship with him that says, you know what, wait a minute, God is on my side. God actually is pulling for my success. And throughout the stories, all of the stories that we learned yesterday, what do we see? We saw what is common, and that is, man who is depraved, he looks to God, and he calls out. God responds to it, delivers him, puts him in a really good situation, and then what does he do? Turn around and get back in the hole. Forget about God, because things are good, and then he goes right back to the process of calling upon God. God who has what? Mercy. The mercy that endures. Hears them cry out, delivers them again, sets them back, and we see the cycle over and over and over again. Now, if God can relate to people in the Old Testament that way, who did not have what we have, they did not have a Savior, they did not have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside them. If God could do that for them, just imagine what he wants to do in, through, and for you. But we have to have the truth, and we have to have the right perspective. So we've learned about sin, that God has an attitude about it, but he's not trying to work you over. He's just trying to get you to be able to subdue and to get you to be able to climb and walk in higher places in him. Okay, so we realize that in understanding sin, that it can remove that thought of its overwhelming finality. In other words, some of us have come to a place where something we just learn to live with. And there's an overwhelming thought at times that, you know, I can't seem to break this. I can't seem to push out of this. I can't seem to not do this anymore. But we realize that, again, if God said you can subdue it, that means you can subdue it. Now, some people are able to take a situation and gain the mastery over it immediately. How many of you, when you got saved, there's some things that you used to do, you just stopped doing? But then there are other things that you used to do that you're still doing. And you have to continue to take it before God. And so we've also learned that God is not disturbed by the fact that we wrestle. And Pastor Sunday say, in fact, if you are a believer and if you really are intent on being free and moving forward in the things of God, there should be some signs of struggle. There should be some evidence that I have wrestled with this thing. I have worked hard to overcome it. Now, I may not always win, but I'm still in the fight. I was told a story about a guy who was, I think he was a little guy about like me. And it was a big guy that was giving him a challenge. So he decided that he said, enough is enough. So he invited the guy out to the alley to fight. He said, now let's go on out to the alley and fight. He said, I really don't care who wins. He just wanted the guy to know that he had been in a fight. So sometimes God is just looking for us to at least put up a good fight. You don't have to always win. But the beautiful thing is we have him who said, now just bring that into the secret place. In fact, he said, approach the throne of grace boldly that you may obtain what? Some mercy. Now, you don't need mercy if everything is good. I think Pastor Duke made a post on Facebook this week. He said, mercy is only necessary if there's failure. So the Bible says we get new mercies every day. Revelation about sin, you know, does it have that power of finality? Can it just stay with me forever? Well, some things you're going to struggle with probably until you go to the grave. But most things are coming off because you have the power to subdue it. And the encouragement here is just don't give up. The encouragement is to continue to fight, to continue to press in, to continue to believe what God has said about this situation. I don't have to be a victim. I don't have to be overcome. I can overcome. In fact, the Bible says that I'm more than a conqueror. I have victory in Jesus Christ. And that's not a thing where he just does everything. No, he has given me the power to deny some things. And we should practice that. You know, that's one of those things that we should practice. You should practice denying yourself. You should practice denying flesh. You should practice denying sin. Some stuff you need to just say, no, you don't have control over me, and I'm not going to participate anymore. I'm not going to allow you to engage me anymore. And as we talked about last week, there has to be strategy involved in that. Come on now. It's not a passive situation. There's something that we have to do very deliberately, very intentionally, on purpose, to have the Holy Spirit to work with us to be able to overcome. So we've learned about God's perspective. We learned about the fact that we no longer have to fear finality. And it doesn't have to be something that we just decide to live with. This is just who I am. You ever hear anybody say that? You know, it's just the way I am, child. I mean, no, it doesn't have to be that way. You can change. You might have the worst attitude on the planet, and you can change, and you can be changed, and somebody can meet you down the road and say, God is definitely walking with them. Well, they're not who they were before, amen? Okay, so it's not a matter of finality. The other thing that we get out of this revelation is that guilt and shame no longer has the power. Guilt and shame no longer has the grip that it had before we understood how God views it. Before we understood the fact that in essence, we are victims because we're born with this condition. We're born with this condition. And so God understands that when we fail, we're not failing because we decided we just want to go and be crazy. Most of us were just born crazy. And so the guilt and shame piece. You know, I told, I think it was the brothers we were talking. I said, listen, here's the thing about prayer. And we've been really enjoying the morning meditation. And I said, what you want to be able to do with your sin is you want to be able to bring it before God on a consistent, a regular basis. But bring it to him as a son asking a daddy to help him to overcome, as opposed to bringing guilt and shame into the room. And you're only really bringing it up because you feel bad about it. Can you see the difference? I mean, certainly you don't feel good about it. We understand that. But when you come to your father, when you bring it into the secret place, you say to him, listen, I mean, you can see the signs of struggle, daddy. I'm just trying to work it out. But every time I try to go forward, it seems like I take two steps backwards. I'm trying to succeed. And you know what the Holy Spirit will do now? He will talk to you. And as I say many times, you know, keep putting the word in you. Consume the word of God. Some people say, well, I don't understand it. You don't have to understand it right now. Put it in. Load it in. Load it in. Load it in. Load it in. Yesterday's exercise, I was sitting, I was looking, and I'm listening and thinking, particularly with the little people. I said, they're just putting this thing in. They don't even know what they're doing. But you put that word in, it gives the Holy Spirit something to work with. People say, well, I don't know. I've never heard from God. Well, I tell you what, getting his word, you'll hear from him. And he'll bring it up at the most opportune time. When you need a word from God, he'll speak through his word. He'll say, listen, if I did it for this one, I'll do it for you. This is how I operate. You saw me deliver these children of Israel who kept doing what they weren't supposed to do and would get themselves in a fix because sin produces what it produces, and it produced it in their lives. They found themselves in bondage more often than freedom because of their choices. But God delivered them every time they called out. So much so that the people who had no relationship with God would see God deliver these people over and over and over again. And they became afraid of God and afraid of these people and began to respect him, some of them, more than even the children of Israel. Because they saw God be good. The God we serve is a good God. He's not fascinated, disturbed by, or freaked out by your sin. He understands it. He knows the origin of it. He knows what it does to your life. He knows that it diminishes the quality of a believer's life, and it keeps us from being able to do in this world what we were called to do in this world. So when we come to him, we bring it. We're coming as divine partners. God has raised you up and given you life to become a divine partner with him. Adam and Eve, they were summoned to be divine partners, to be able to cause the ways of God to be firmly established and maintained in the earth. So when you have a conversation with him, you're going to a God who is trying to fix a situation, and he's called upon you to work with him to make it happen, which is absolutely fascinating to me too. You got a broken situation. We broke the situation. Then he takes the person that broke the situation and hires them to fix it. Now I said a whole lot right there. If you get the picture, because here's the deal. You know, we talk about grace, the song Amazing Grace. I thought to sing it just to kind of go with what I'm talking about. But amazing grace is what it is. It is truly amazing. So what grace does is that while we're cracked and broken, and even sinners ourselves, Grace gives you the ability and the capacity to do what you can't do in that state. Grace enables you to partner with God to fix the broken situation of sin and death now, not down the road, right now. Grace gives you that capacity to work with God now. So in other words, when we're connecting with heaven, we're contacting heaven, when we are working to cooperate with heaven, God takes grace and says, okay, he ain't supposed to be up here. He ain't supposed to be in this throne room. He's not supposed to be here. He got issues. He got all kind of stuff going on in his world. So what I'm going to do is, by the blood of Jesus, I'm just going to give him grace. Now, if I give you grace, oh, there you go. Now, that ticket gets you all access. Without this ticket, you just Steve. But with that and be what you were called to do and to be. And you are enabled by a divine ability called grace. So you just need to get your card back and take your card. And instead of going in there saying, well, Lord, you know, I'm not worthy. Okay, yeah, you're right. It's why we pray in his authority. Because if you come by yourself, it's a problem. But if you whip out your card. Hold on now. I'm not just any old body. I've been redeemed. I've been called out. And I've been qualified. Not in my own self. I got that. But with this card, I got all access. I can do what the Bible says I can do. You get the picture. It's so important that we get this revelation, because this thing wants to keep you from moving forward. Listen, we got stuff to do. We got people to touch. We got, there's a world that needs to hear what we know. The simplicity of the gospel. The simplicity of it. It's not, you know, we make it complicated. In fact, it troubles me when I hear a preacher take a simple message and make it complex. I try to make it as simple as possible, as plain as I can get it, so that you can grab it and run with it. Listen, you have the capacity to change some stuff. You have the capacity to move some mountains. Amen? So our revelation of sin, it diminishes this whole guilt and shame thing. This also gives us boldness and confidence to deal with sin. It gives us boldness and confidence to deal with it. I can get up tomorrow with my new mercy strapped to my belt and say, Lord, I did it again. I did it again. I ain't trying to. You know, I know it's wrong because you told me it was wrong, which, by the way, was the purpose of the law. The law was given because men, you know, they didn't fully understand the stuff that was hurting them. They didn't know. They didn't know what adultery was doing. They didn't fully appreciate what a little lie was doing. They didn't get it. So the Lord said, well, here, let me just make this plain for you. I'll give you this law. This law tells you that all of this is wrong, and it's wrong, and it offends me, and it's damaging you. But I'm not leaving you there. I'm just giving that to you so that you can see that you were in an accident. That in that garden, something devastating happened to you. You don't even know it because it's become your norm. It's now natural to you. So, you know, this is the way you live. You didn't know that sleeping with your neighbor's wife was an issue. I mean, after all, it was consensual and we all had fun. Except the neighbor's husband. Because he didn't know, because we lied. And lying, you know, covered it up. Are y'all getting the picture? So the Lord said, let me just show these guys. In fact, let's keep it simple. We're not going to make a whole bunch of them. Can we just give them 10? We'll just give you 10. If you could pass the 10 deal, you get a pass. You go. You don't need the card now because you were able to accomplish the 10 on your own. You didn't need me. You didn't need anybody else. You didn't need a priest. You didn't need anybody. Just take the 10, and if you can just, just go down a list. Tomorrow morning when you wake up, just pull the list of 10 out and check off. Yep, got that right. Yep, got that right. Uh-oh. Yeah, even in the morning, you can wake up wrong. That's the point. So he said, now the law was to make it plain. He said, but it's also used to point out a reality that I'm messed up and I need some help. Come on, somebody say, I need some help. James Brown said, I need some help, y'all. You need some help. But then our God, who is a great God, awesome God, he'll lead you there. He said, you need some help, and I got some help. Not just a little help. We're not talking Tylenol, where you just numb the pain, but the problem still exists. We're not going to bring you over to urgent care and bandage you up and send you over here to the main hospital. No, when you come in here, you're not going to leave out the same. It's going to be a comprehensive deal. We're going to work this one for you. And so he says, this is all designed to point out the fact that this is trouble for you, man. It's just not the best life. It's not the way I created you. I didn't design life like that, but you were in an accident. Nobody told you. You didn't know. You messed up. But here's 10 points to show you how messed up you are. But now come on down, and I'll bring you a savior, a messiah, who will deliver you from all of it and help you to get control of the thing that's been causing your life to be terrible. He said, so then I'll give you the Holy Spirit. He said, and I'll write this truth on your heart. You don't have to look at a list. He said, I'll write it right here on the inside. You'll be aware of it. You'll be sensitive. You'll be conscious. You'll have the Holy Spirit who will convict you and say, hey, don't go over there. Now, that's not good. Kick it to the left a little bit. That will do the internal realignment and get you back on track. Start leaning to the left. Holy Spirit just say, let me nudge you to the right. And sometimes that's a brother or a sister that sits next to you at church saying, man, I missed you at prayer. That's the Holy Spirit saying, kick it to the left. Huh? We get offended by the Holy Spirit's work. Religion and a religious attitude will cause you to think that it's just you and him. And when people take communion, they say, well, it's just me and Jesus now. No, it's not. It's me, you, and her, and him, and them, and Jesus. So he uses that. He gives you a shepherd to give you direction. The Bible calls me a gift to you. He gives you a gift to help you. Come on, somebody. Now, y'all working with me today. So I can make a decision. Either I can sidestep that or I can take it and say, okay, Lord. But not okay, Lord, I feel so bad. Okay, Lord, help me. Give me some strategy. Give me some wisdom. Give me some strength. Strengthen my inner man. Help me say no and deny myself. Deny my flesh. I've been doing my own thing. Help me not to keep doing my own thing. It's not good for me. I need the Holy Spirit to help me. Y'all with me today? I mean, these are just the things that we've gleaned from this revelation about the kingdom. About sin. But the other thing that we kind of hit on and didn't finish out is that this also reveals a level of liberty and freedom. I can't tell you who to sock it to. Good. I was waiting for the circle, yeah. So this, some people, and I know religious spirits when I encounter them, and some people, they just tighten up. You can't say that about sin. You have to tell them that God hates it. cry loud and spare not what the word said. And you got to make people feel real bad about it, really bad, so they can repent. So they don't want to talk about grace, because grace kind of suggests you can do whatever you want to do. And what if I tell you that's true? You could do whatever you want to do. You have a choice. And you've been born again. And if you don't believe it, if you refute that, I can promise you that a great majority of Christians do just what the heck they want to do. Now, we've mastered, we've mastered the game of putting up facades, facades. We mastered that. We know how to paint it on, man. And particularly on Sunday mornings, we paint it on. I got to look for you. My litmus test, you've heard me say it before, my test is always your answering machine, or in today's modern technology, your voicemail. You call some of the saints. You hear that voicemail. Or let them think you're a bill collector.
Don't let Tommy call.
I mean, you will see what you're really working with. We have mastered that whole repackaging or packaging and presenting a look that we got it all together. So we do what we think we need to do to make it look okay on Sunday, but then Monday we go back to doing what we do. We make our own decisions, our own choices. You can do what you want to do. You can do whatever you want to do. You don't believe me? It's in the Bible. Let's see. 1 Corinthians 6:12, actual scripture. He said, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Food's for the stomach, stomach for food, but God will destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Okay, so he's just walking through, and what he's saying is, I can do what I want to do. It's lawful, you know. I mean, in other words, I can do it, but it ain't the best thing to do for me or you. It's damaging. It could bring destruction. But you have the freedom. I think in Galatians, I think chapter 5, Paul says, you know, You have this liberty. Okay? Essentially, he said, what you going to do with the liberty? You going to use this liberty to just do you? Or you going to use this liberty to love? Now, if you use it to love, that means you're thinking about me. So I'm thinking about you. If I'm loving you, I'm thinking about you. And Paul said, we're all one body. We're all connected. So that means this. There's some things that I won't do for you. Because of you. There's some things that I will change, behavior, attitude, practices, that I will change in my life for the sake of the whole. In other words, this church matters. There are things I will or will not do because of that. My wife matters, things I will or will not do because of that relationship. So this whole thing of sin, we also understand there's a freedom. And the freedom and the liberty that you have is you can make a choice to either live and benefit fully from all that Jesus has done, or You can ignore that and just keep living like you are your own independent agent, autonomous and not connected to anything and anybody. But one of them, the Bible says, that there's a way that seems right. But the end of that is destruction. So you have to make a choice. You see how all of this works together? Now, if you start tracking the words, you got all these scriptures that we've been quoting over the years in the Old Testament, you know, say, choose ye this day. Who are you going to serve, right? I mean, all of this is connected. All he said, you got the power of choice. That's what you were given in the garden. What was given to Adam and Eve was the power of choice. And they made a decision. It was not the best decision. And so here we are now having to preach this message. To fix one decision. One decision. So we can decide to do something different. We got the liberty to be selfish. We got the liberty to live any way you want to. There are consequences. You're not going to go unscathed. You know, it's going to be an ugly situation. But you have that liberty and that power. But here's the thing I want to encourage you to do as I close. I want you to use what you now know. And I want you to use what you now have. To number one, choose the best. Choose the best that God has for you. Find out what God would have you to do in the way you live, and then go to work with him to live it. Cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Coordinate with the Holy Spirit. Give yourself to it. You know, yesterday's program, I thought, what we have to do as a church body, and I'm not jumping on anybody, I'm just saying all the way around, whether it was yesterday, whether it's morning meditation, whether it's Wednesday night Bible, whether it's whatever it is, I don't even know. I wish I had the numbers to see how many people actually clicked on to listen to messages online. I know how many people open the church bulletin. Like 30, 35 people actually open it every week. 35. Actually click it to read it. Now, listen, it's just a choice. You can take advantage of everything that's given you because God has done it now. You got to know that this here is God's way of blessing you to live the most extraordinary life you could ever live. That word that you could receive, those programs are designed to give you something that you can connect with that will bring you to the next dimension in God. Take advantage of it. Use it. Choose properly. Choose properly with the liberty that you have, because you do have the liberty. You can participate. You can opt out. Hello? But opt in. If you use this freedom right, you can change the composition of life, not just for you, everybody that you have influence over, everything that you have influence over. If you were to use this right, you have that capacity. One of the things that I share with young couples, particularly during the premarital counseling sessions, you always go and you deal with history. So you go back to the parents, you go back to the grandparents, and further if they desire, and you kind of look at the families on both sides. You look at the modeling that they've observed. You look at what they've witnessed, and typically, of course, in most cases, you got two different worlds. You know, one came from single parent home. This one came from, you know, a whole family, et cetera, et cetera. And you have all these variations. Sometimes it was, you know, an ugly divorce scenario. You know, sometimes it's physical abuse. And I say to them, listen. With the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God and the models that you have in this place, you have the capacity to change the course for generations to come. If you take the principles and the values of the kingdom of God, you can decide, my father did not remain, but I will never do that. I love what Pastor Sunday had us to stand and declare one time during our marriage talk, and I've shared this in different places I've gone, and he said, let's declare together that we will not leave a legacy of divorce for our children. I mean, that broke me down. I'd never put it in those terms before, but that's a concrete decision that will change generations. That means my children and my children's children will see a family intact. And it says to them, well, this is the way to do life. And I must try. And you know, sometimes it's not even a conscious thing. It's just you saw it, so you do it. You witnessed it, so you repeated it. It's something that's been ingrained, you understand. But we have freedom, we have liberty, we can make choices. Let's do the right thing. Let's make the right choice. So finally, we can determine to impact nations. As a body, we can determine to impact nations with the power that we have. And we can do that collectively. We can do that together. Impact nations. It sounds like, it almost sounds overwhelming. Like, is that possible? It is absolutely possible. We're already doing it. And we can do it more. We just have to see ourselves as being bigger and more than we've seen ourselves. And go ahead and let God use us to do what seems to be impossible. Amen. God bless you all today.